Work smarter, not harder this Labor Day. Craft your masterpiece and enjoy a slow smoke meal with a Masterbuilt smoker. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned professional, you'll find that just right smoker for your backyard cookout. It's easier and it tastes better than grilling. Load the smoker up with your favorite foods, set the time and temp, and walk away. Spend more time with your family and friends. It's available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, and Cabela's. For more information, tips, and recipes, visit masterbuilt.com. Hey, now we're into our second hour. Welcome back. Good morning, good afternoon, or nice to have you here. I am Jim Rohn. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. A ton to get done. Telephone number is toll free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. I do not want to waste any time. Let's talk some St. Louis Cardinals baseball. We're joined right now by a really impressive young pitcher. 8-6 on the year, ERA of 2.87, 149 strikeouts. The Cards have won each of his last five starts. He was the 34th pick overall back in 2014. St. Louis is in second in the NL Central. They're currently in first in the wild card. Pittsburgh is at St. Louis tonight, 7:15 Eastern start time. Jack Flaherty is my guest. Jack, really nice to have you on.
Jim,
good morning. How are you?
Jim, how's it going?
Good, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really good.
Good. Listen, you're coming off a win on Tuesday. Let me start right there. You went seven innings. You allowed just one run against Pittsburgh. So, Jack, how good does it feel to not only be pitching in the postseason race, but to be coming up huge the way you are right now?
You know, man, it just feels good to go out there with these guys and be able to compete every day. You know, every time I go out there, I'm just trying to put the team in a position to win the game and make sure that when I come out of there, we got a chance to win it no matter what's going on. But, you know, it's fun. Right now, every game matters, and every time we get a chance to go out there, we know that it's important.
Right now, listen, your preparation is already legendary. How much of what you're doing, Jack, every fifth day is about the work that you put in between your starts? And what kind of work do you do? And then how does that show up when you pitch on game day?
I say all of it. I say all of it's from preparation. I think that where I'm at right now comes from the preparation in between starts, making sure that, you know, I'm putting in the time to where I know that I'm ready. And that no matter what happens that fifth day, let's say things go poorly that fifth day, I know I've put in all the time that I can to be ready to be able to have my team's back on that day. Just, you know, I think that that's where the prep work comes in, is just me trying to make sure I'm ready and that I know once I come out of that game, I've done everything that I possibly could to be ready for that day.
Jack Flaherty, my guest. Now, because of how dominant you've been and how big of a role you're playing right now in getting the team back to the postseason, there's this kind of tricky discussion about how much to use you down the stretch. So let me ask you, how does your arm feel right now?
And I feel great. I got no worries about it. Body feels great, you know, but this is what we work for. This is what each and every one of us work for, is to be ready for times like this. You know, no matter what the situation is, we work to be ready for a situation like this. We never worry about, you know, use down the stretch or nothing like that. We're just, you know, we prepare for this.
You know, Jack, I ran down some of your stats. I could keep doing it, but I don't need to run down the stats. I only need to mention the fact that Bob Gibson wanted to meet you. What was your reaction when you first heard that?
And hearing that was special. I think I had maybe talked to him for 5 minutes, maybe in the previous year. Just running into him, but at that point I had somebody mention it to me, and I was like, I knew he was around that day, but I didn't see him. And I saw on one of the monitors that he was sitting in the dugout, and I just said, whatever else I got to do right now is not as important as running outside and talking to that guy. So I just got dressed, jumped at the opportunity, ran outside, got, you know, the 10-15 minutes that I could get with him. And just really jumped at the opportunity. That's something special when, you know, you get somebody like that who says, hey, yeah, I'd really like some time with you.
Hey, Jack, especially if you do what you do. Listen, I've done this a long, long time. I've talked to almost everybody who matters in this game or in any sport. The first time I met Bob Gibson, you have to understand, this guy, man, this guy is so different. He has got such amazing presence. And I would imagine, even for you and what you do, this guy is really, really intimidating. It's one thing for Bob Gibson to say, hey, I'd like to meet you. Quite another for Bob Gibson to say, I know who you are. I've been watching you. This is one of the greatest to ever do it. And he's saying, I know who you are, and I've been watching you. What was it like to hear that from him?
That's a legend right there. There's no getting around the fact that that's a legend. And, you know, I introduced myself to him, but he goes, no, I know who you are. I've been watching. And that was something like, dang, like, that's special because, you know, obviously I know who he is. That's without a doubt. Like, you know, that's an easy thing to know. But then for him to say something like that just was, you know, kind of caught me off guard and whatnot. But, it's something that was really cool to hear. But anytime, you know, I got about 15 minutes with him, and you know, I hope to have a lot of time with him coming in the future. But you know, just that 15 minutes with him that he let me have with him was special.
Jack, last thought about that too. He knows you. He wanted to meet you, and then on top of that, he wanted to talk to you about your slider. He loves your slider. So when Bob Gibson knows your repertoire and wants to talk to you about your pitches, you know that's something. We're talking to Jack Flaherty. Now, Jack, you're from Burbank. You played your high school ball at Harvard Westlake, which is not all that far from where we are. What do you remember about those days? What was high school ball like there?
It was fun. Put it simply, man, it was fun. I loved playing there. That was one of the best times of my life. I mean, we had a great group of coaches, and most importantly, we just had a really great group of guys there. And it was just fun. I mean, we each and every day we went out to practice, and I think that's where the prep work kind of started was, you know, our coach, he kind of believed in us working hard each and every day, making sure we're ready for game day, and that when it comes to game day, there's no situation we haven't put ourselves in, so. Yeah, that's where the prep work starts. But Harvard Westlake, that was such a great time. It was so much fun there.
Hey Jack, listen, we keep talking about your prep work. The fact is, and I should have made this point, you're only 22. You're only 22, and yet your teammates and people around the league rave about your maturity, your professionalism. As an example, Bud Norris talks about the fact that you keep a journal and on your workouts, and you're constantly making notes on what you want to get done. So where does the attitude and the approach come from? Where did you learn that?
Man, that's just something. It was kind of after my 2016 season, where I was in high A, and I really struggled to be consistent. You know, I got off to a really bad start, and then had a really good stretch, and then struggled again, and then had a good stretch to kind of end the season, and I just kind of found myself writing things in my phone, like on my notes in my phone about, you know, what was feeling good, because I just could never remember, like, okay, I pitched this day and it went well. What felt good on that day? And I could never remember. So I was like, I need to write this stuff down just so I can kind of, you know, I can kind of remember what felt good, what I was thinking that day, what I did. And I think that's kind of where it started. And I don't know who it was or if somebody ever met, but I think somebody somewhere along the line had mentioned like keeping a journal to be able to remember things like that. And, but when it comes to that, I mean, that's just something that I kind of have started and I completely stuck with and have not really gotten away from it. And I don't really see myself getting away from it at any time, but for me, it's just preparation. It puts me in a position where I know going into a game where I'm at, what I'm comfortable with, what my keys are, what I need to do in order to be successful. And if I'm able to go out and do that, then most of the time good things are going to happen. But if they don't, I know I've done everything that I possibly could to be ready for that fifth day. And, you know, just to put it all out there. And that's one thing that Gibson told me was that I asked him, you know, he's going 9 every time out, and he said, I'm just giving it all. I'm putting everything out there. You know, when I come off the mound, I'm not leaving anything out there. There's no saving energy. There's no conserving or nothing. It's just leave it all out there, and then, you know, most time good things are going to happen.
Cardinals pitcher Jack Flaherty joining us for another moment. Hey Jack, not to get too local with it, but since I grew up in Southern California and played Little League baseball, I've got a couple of sons that play baseball. I got to know, man, where did you play Little League ball, and did you play travel ball growing up here? Of course you had to.
Sherman Oaks Little League.
Oh, dude! Me too.
Where it all started.
Me too. Sherman Oaks Little League. Fact.
Yeah.
I think you are the only big leaguer I've ever spoken to that played at Sherman Oaks Little League. I love that, man. What was that like?
Man, that was... I met some of my best friends growing up, and still to this day, best friends with some of those guys that I played with. Started with the same group of guys from when I was six or seven years old. I mean, grew up, started Little League there, and then first tournament I ever played in, I think, was Memorial Day weekend. And it's funny, my mom always tells the story. She says, I had no idea what I was getting into, because once that tournament happened and we played that weekend, there was no other weekend for the next, however many years, 10 years, where she was free.
We laugh about that all the time. You're right. Right,
yeah,
parents.
You never know what you're getting into. And I give her absolutely all the credit in the world. But, Sherman Oaks was a fun place to be.
Jack, that is so awesome. You know, here in Southern California, like Encino Little League is a good league. West Hills out in the Valley is a good league. But Sherman Oaks, man, I can remember even as a kid when I played, like, Dick Amberg, not to date myself, and I'm much older than you, but Dick Amberg would come because his kid played in the league. Frank Robinson's kid played the league 1 year. Now, I don't have that same experience as you. I didn't play in some tournament and move on to much greater things. I am so hyped and so pumped that you played Sherman Oaks Little League. That is the best.
Is the best place to be at.
Well, not only that, just so we're clear about this, in your bio, on your Twitter feed, you've got 818 forever. Did you keep your 818 phone number? Are you still repping that?
Still always 818. Always remember where you came from.
818 forever. Jack Flaherty, man, off to an amazing start, having a great first year. Jack, couldn't appreciate you anymore, and I am hyped, not only for this conversation and for your success, but the fact that it all started at Sherman Oaks Little League. That is the best. I'm pumped.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
Jack, you have a great day. Great to talk to you. Nice to meet you. And keep it up. Stay strong. Jack Flaherty, that is awesome. Like, I thought, I'll be honest with you, if it sounds like I'm hyped, it's because I am, because I didn't know that. I was hoping that was the answer. I don't know of any other major leaguers. My thanks to Jack and the Cards for that. He is such a good young pitcher. And not only in terms of his stuff, but his makeup, his command, his work ethic, everybody raves. Let me tell you something. Bob Gibson knows you. If Bob Gibson wants to meet you, if Bob Gibson likes your slide piece, you're somebody. Man, that is such hard respect to earn. Bob freaking Gibson. I will never forget the time I met Bob Gibson. I was in awe. I met him in 1993 or 94 on ESPN2, on Talk 2. I will never forget the time I met him, man. He was so cool, but so intimidating and so fierce. And you just knew. Like, when I came up, whenever I sat down to interview somebody, I always wanted to make sure that I was prepped, I'd done my research, I was ready, and that they knew that I'm coming to a show, and it might be a tough show, but I'm coming to a show where they're ready. They've done their work. And then there were certain guys where I wanted to make really sure that they knew that I was not going to waste their time, that I was ready. Bill Russell came to mind. Bob Gibson came to mind. I mean, like, fierce, fierce competitors that were not going to suffer any fools whatsoever. You do not waste their time and do not disrespect them. So the fact that Bob Gibson so badly wanted to meet Jack Flaherty tells you all you need to know about that kid. And I've told the story before. I'll never forget it. Bob Gibson sat down in the makeup chair, and the makeup artist said, "Mr. Gibson," she had no idea who he was, no idea, and said, "I'm just going to put a little makeup on you." He said, "No, thank you." She said, oh, no, you need a little bit of makeup. I'm just going to put a little bit on you." And Bob Gibson said, "Ma'am, no, thank you." And she's like, no, this is fine. And I said, "Beverly, Mr. Gibson does not want makeup." Like, she has no idea who Bob Gibson is. He does, like, Bob Gibson was going to wear makeup, right? Hell no, he wasn't. God, Bob Gibson was awesome. Bob Gibson was awesome, but nothing is more awesome than Jack Flaherty playing Little League Baseball at Sherman Oaks Little League where I grew up. Coming across Ventura Boulevard, remember that newsstand in Van Nuys, the Orange Julius? Man, I have great memories of being totally overmatched in Sherman Oaks Little League, not being able to get the bat on the ball. My old man coached, and that was like coach pitch. And he looks at me one day and he goes, "I'm going to strike you out." I'm like, "Yeah? Let's see." He struck me out. I cried. I'm like, "Great." He's like, "Come on, man. Really? You're crying?" Sherman Oaks Little League. Let me think what else. Dick Amberg used to come, as I mentioned. Frank Robinson's kid played there 1 year. I saw Frank there a couple times. Who else? Jack Flaherty, long after the fact. I want to hear from somebody else who played Sherman Oaks Little League. That great donut stand we used to hit up. Good times. Man, good times. Donuts. Jack Flaherty. And also, go to his Twitter bio, 818-FOREVER. It's in the bio, 818 for life. 818 Clay Matthews, life. 818. Jack Flaherty, 818. Giancarlo Stanton was 818 at one point. A lot of 818ers. San Fernando Valley, rep it hard. Ventura Boulevard, rep it hard. Calabasas High School. Yeah, they're playing some football now. All right, we will take a short timeout. Sounds like I'm hyped. It's because I am hyped. Buddy Black, top of the hour. Casper was created with one single goal: to deliver a great night of sleep at an amazing value. The team of engineers and designers at Casper work nonstop researching, prototyping, and testing all of their mattresses based on how different people sleep. The Casper mattress has a unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment, so you can feel perfectly balanced and comfortable. And the breathable material guarantees that you sleep cool. And the mattresses are built to last for years. Try Casper yourself for 100 nights risk-free. They ship it to you for free in a compact box. If you don't love it, they will come pick it up and refund you everything, no questions asked. See for yourself why Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews and counting. Go to Casper.com. Take advantage of Casper's limited-time Labor Day offer. Say goodbye to summer with 10% off any order with a mattress. That's Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply. See the site for details. Casper.com. Do it now. I love mine. You'll love yours.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I was thinking about during the break, I absolutely love an 818er. Not only an 818er like Jack Flaherty, who's done really, really well, but an 818er who's proud to rep the 818. I grew up in the 818. So when I was a kid, I was born on the west side of L.A., and we lived on the west side up until seventh grade, and then we moved out to the valley. So I grew up in what was then the 213, and then moved to the 818. So I grew up in the 818, went to middle school and went to high school in the 818. The 818 is the San Fernando Valley. I grew up in Calabasas. Actually, I grew up in a place called Hidden Hills and went to Calabasas High School, which was near Woodland Hills. 818. I'm proud of the 818. So I love athletes that came up in the 818 and are proud of their roots, like Jack Flaherty. So I'm trying to think of major leaguers. If Clemens want to help me out with something, do a little research for me as I host the show. Find me some other 818ers. Like Jack McDowell was a Valley guy. He went to Notre Dame High School. He had to be 818. Brett Saberhagen's got some roots. Jack Flaherty, obviously. Who else? Let me think. 818. My man, the Penguin, Ron Say, I think, is still in the 818. A lot of the Dodgers lived in the 818 back in the day. Number 6, Garve was in the 818. Steve Yeager was in the 818. My man, the Penguin, Ron Say. Hey, by the way, Ron Say is booked for a podcast. The Penguin, my idol, is going to come in studio and do the Jim Rome podcast in a couple of weeks. So the reason I reacted the way I did to him playing Sherman Oaks Little League, not just because I did, well, actually, because I did. But I'm trying to think of any other major leaguers that went through there. Zipa is spelled Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Zipa. Happy Z spelled backwards. If you go to bed with Zipa, you wake up with happy Z's. Did you know that one bad night of sleep can ruin an entire day? Are you planning a vacation this Labor Day weekend? Hey, let me ask you, how many vacations do you know of that have been ruined by snoring? I'm going to say all of them. Any vacation that's ruined is largely because of snoring. That's what my research indicates. And same with Zipa's. How do you expect to get any rest if somebody's snoring all night long? Especially if you're the one who's doing the snoring. Snoring is not sleeping. Nobody is going to enjoy that three-day weekend if you're snoring or yawning or both. Zipa is guaranteed to stop it. You've got nothing to lose. If you're not happy for any reason, return it for a full refund. Snoring is rude, disrespectful, and offensive. Why? Because you can fix it with a Zipa. Get yours today by going to Zipa.com. Ensure that your holiday weekend is a great one. Zipa.com, Zyppah.com. Still trying to give away that smoker badly. Let's go to the phones. We go to Green Bay. I said Wisco, if ever there was a day to call, it's today. Your guy's locked up. Biggest contract in NFL history. He's going to end his career there. He's still in his prime. Now is the time to call the show if you're in Wisco. Ryan in Green Bay. Ryan, great to have you. What's up?
Romy, how you doing?
Good, Ryan. How about you?
Good day to be a Packers fan. Let me tell you, that money is well invested, well spent. Aaron Rodgers is a franchise-defining quarterback. Last year was really, really, really hard to watch. Without him, we're just not the same team. And I think Packers Nation got a good sense of what it's like to be a Jets fan. Last year was terrible. And you mentioned Sam Darnold earlier. He's described as a franchise-defining quarterback. Well, we have ours. We paid him. It's money well spent. We're coming for you, Dallas. We're coming for you, Minnesota. With Aaron Rodgers, we can win the division. We can go far in the playoffs, and we can win the Super Bowl. If the Packers can get that trade talk with Oakland going and we can get Khalil Mack, this will be our year, definitely. War of the Badgers starting out their season strong this weekend. War of the Brewers winning last night, and War of the Packers making the right moves. Unwar Bears fans, unwar all of Bears Nation. I'm out.
All right, see ya. Ryan, thank you very much. Why do you give a damn about Dallas? Why do you care about the Cowboys? Why do you care about these guys? I mean, I know you hate them, but why do you care about them? You imagine if they get Khalil Mack. Look, the Raiders, to me, have handled this thing all wrong. I've been talking about this for about a week now, 2 weeks now. They could not handle this any more. They couldn't have handled this any worse than they are right now. They're not trading him to Green Bay. They're not trading Khalil Mack anywhere. That'd be the biggest mistake ever. Even worse than the way they've handled that contract negotiation. And yes, I understand defense barely matters in the NFL right now. This is why the quarterbacks are getting crazier and crazier money. I understand where John Gruden might say. I kind of understand this. Yeah, hey, listen, weren't we 30th in defense last year? Didn't Khalil Mack play on this defense last year? Didn't this defense suck last year? So why would we want to pay him what he wants? Why would we want to make him the highest paid defensive player in the NFL? Why would we do that? Because he's your best player. Because he's one of the best young players that franchise has ever had. Because he's going to the Hall of Fame. Because he's a three-time Pro Bowler, a two-time All-Pro, a Defensive Player of the Year. Because he's done all that in the last 3 years alone. He's not going to Green Bay. Thinking about other 818ers. Clay Matthews, 818. Malik Jackson, remember, he's got 818 Inc. Gabe Kapler, 818. Kevin Pillar, 818. Actually, Kevin Pillar is West Hills. West Hills, a very good little league. Encino Little League, very good little league. But they ain't Sherman Oaks Little League. You know that? This guy wants the smoker. This guy's called in the past and won things in the past. I'm looking to give it away, and he wants it. This might be the match I'm looking for. Let's go to Pearland, Texas. Bodie in Pearland. Bubba. What's going on, Bodie?
What is up, Bubba?
What's up, Bubba?
How's it going, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. Look, Tanner, when you want something, you got to go out and get it or try your best, except when you're writing novels. Like I told IRA Craig, you know, pull your bootstraps up, son, but hell, I forgot some bitch probably don't even own a pair of boots. But look here, Ron. I thought the only smoker I'd ever want was one that was a five-pack a day or now, you know, because it's kind of weathered and stuff like that, and people's been calling me the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I can't sell no more beef out there no more, Bubba. So, I mean, that's all I got, Bubba. I'll run some sports next time, but this is all about the smoker, Bubba. I love you. I'm out.
Bodie, rack him. Hey, look, I don't play favorites, but Bodie's one of my favorites. All Bodie has to do is call up and say, yo, Bubba, I love you, Bubba. That guy over there, Bubba, he's a some bitch, but I love you, Bubba. I don't have any sports takes today, Bubba. I love you, but I hate that some bitch. Can I have my smoker? Maybe, Bodie, maybe. It's my dude right there. All right, Bodie is on the short list. He may get that thing. Yeah, normally just wanting it is not enough to get it, but he really, really wants it. and really, really likes me and really, really likes to call people some bitches, he might win. We're halfway there. It's there. Come and get it. Do you want the Masterbuilt Smoker? 1-800-636-8686. Halfway through it, and I still have not gotten to this Michael Kendrick story, which I will get to. The story is incredible. I definitely will have that in probably next segment. Teddy Bridgewater, I haven't even got to in length. How about this guy? He damn near lost his leg. And never mind his career. He nearly lost his leg. That's how badly shredded his knee was. They literally thought about amputation. This guy's come all the way back. And not only made it all the way back and has played well enough to justify starting in the NFL. This guy's a starting quarterback. He's not a backup. And then you look at the Saints and what they gave up to get this guy. That's a very stiff price for an insurance premium, an insurance policy. But then again, what if he's more than that? What if this is the heir apparent to Drew Brees? And then again, can you really overpay for an insurance policy or premium? Look at what happened to Philadelphia last year when Carson Wentz went down. Maybe there's no such thing as overpaying. So I like that. I like that a lot. And, you know, Zach Smith had that meltdown. My man's unhinged, unraveled, unhinged, not stable, and going crazy on Twitter yesterday. I'm trying my best not to get into that. We've talked about Ohio State enough at length, but that was a Twitter meltdown for the ages. You want to talk about a story for the ages? See that story that Deadspin had about the dog sitter? Wild story. Wild story, wild sound, and I'm not being gratuitous with it. There is an athlete angle on that. It's a former Olympian, a gold medalist. Not one of those obscure Olympians, a two-time winning gold medalist. That would justify that story about the dog sitter. And just to give you a taste, a dog sitter and a story involving a couple of dudes who were shirtless and some lube. It's part of the story. It happened. You remember way back in the day where like the hottest, spiciest story involving dogs was that story involving dead dog-a-ha? You remember that, Coloss? Dead dog-a-ha? Look it up. It's not appropriate any longer. We're taking a short break, and then we're coming back. All of that still ahead. I knew this was going to be a good day. Bud Black's still coming up. Going to run down Buddy Black a little bit later on. You know, he and I go back to the 70s. It's a good day. Don't go anywhere because we are not done. Telephone call is straight ahead. More thoughts, more takes. But first, a sports update. A busy Thursday. Here is the latest for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You have to stay strong, like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. It is three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown, as tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Packer fans want Khalil Mack, clearly. I understand why you want Khalil Mack. If I'm a Packer fan, I would do everything I could to get this guy out of Oakland, too. What I'm saying is this. I'm not saying that he will not end up there. Let me clarify this. I'm not saying that he won't end up there. I'm saying he better not end up there from a Raiders standpoint. You don't trade Hall of Famers in their prime, even if they're on the other side of the football, and even if they want that money. You just don't do that. You're not going to get fair and equitable value for Khalil Mack. What can you possibly get for this guy? Well, we'll just draft the next Khalil Mack. No, but you already have the original Khalil Mack. So, Packer fan, I would do everything I could to get him out. Believe me, you're not the only team that wants him. Other teams want this guy. They see the value. They understand what he's worth on the open market. The Raiders don't, or John Gruden doesn't. So what I'm saying is, not that you can't get this guy, but that you would better not get this guy, at least from a Raider standpoint. From a Packer standpoint, I'd do everything I can to get this guy. I love Khalil Mack. Game-changing player. Somebody that keeps coordinators up at night. Somebody who requires two guys on him. Gruden obviously does not see the value in that guy. So, Packer fan, yeah, I could see. Your window is still open. You've got your quarterback. He's 33. He's got the contract. Your secondary is looking much better. You're much better on the outside. You drafted well at the cornerback position. Hell yes, you want Khalil Mack if you're the Packers. You do everything you can to make that trade for him. But if I'm the Raiders, I'm not doing it. But they're obviously listening. They are listening because they're not negotiating. All right, so Michael Kendricks. Michael Kendricks, the Cleveland Browns, insider trading, and cheesesteaks. Nope, not the worst game of Mad Libs ever. An actual story. And it's actually insane. Like completely and totally one of the most bizarre stories ever. It all broke yesterday when Kendricks apologized for being involved in insider trading. Now, I never thought that I'd be talking about that story. But his apology was one of the least weird things about that day. In fact, as apologies go, it's one of the better ones I've ever seen. In a public statement, Kendricks wrote, quote, "I would like to apologize. 4 years ago, I participated in insider trading. I deeply regret it. I invested money with a former friend of mine who I thought that I could trust and who I greatly admired. His background as a Harvard graduate and an employee of Goldman Sachs gave me a false sense of confidence. To this point, I had worked my tail off since I was 5 years old to become a football player. I was drawn in by the allure of being more than just a football player. While I didn't fully understand all of the details of the illegal trades, I knew it was wrong, and I wholeheartedly regret my actions." And he went on to say that he has fully cooperated with authorities, apologized to his coaches, the owners, teammates, the NFL and fans, and his family, quote, "who I failed in this," end quote. Now, that's how you apologize. Are you paying attention, Herb? This is how you apologize. He admitted that what he did was wrong. He admitted that he knew it was wrong. He admitted that he let people down. Now, maybe he was doing this in the hopes of leniency. Maybe he did so to mitigate the punishment that he knows coming or is coming. But again, as apologies go, that one is strong. So exactly what did he do? Now, if you thought that talking about Aaron Rodgers' new contract had a CNBC feel to it, brace yourself, because I'm about to get all mad money on it. Federal authorities accused Kendricks of working with former Goldman Sachs investment banker Damilare Sunoki in a series of insider trades. Along the way, now check this, Kendricks allegedly turned $80,000 into $1.2 million. I mean, if somebody were to come to you and say, "Hey, if I had a way to turn $80,000 into over $1 million, would you be interested in hearing about that?" Probably so. A 1,500% return on his money. 1,500%. If you can get 5%, you're probably pretty happy, right? Anything over 5 with limited risk, you're probably pretty happy. This dude turned 1,500% and did it quickly. Nice work if you can get it, but you pretty much can't. And that's pretty much the point. Because according to authorities, Kendricks and Sunoki met at a party in 2013. And then in 2014, Kendricks opened up a brokerage account with $80,000. They then proceeded to buy stock options on 4 companies, all of which this guy had insider information on because he was working with Goldman Sachs. So in exchange for this ridiculous growth in his portfolio, Kendricks is alleged to have given the other guy roughly $10,000 in cash, tickets to Eagles games, and a trip to a music video shoot. This dude gets Kendricks a 1,500% return on his dough in almost no time whatsoever. And what does he get in return? $10,000 and an invite to a video shoot. What the hell? Yo, man. Thanks for turning my $80,000 into $1.2 million. Man, you are my dude. You're my dude. Hey, here, let me chip you off this $25 gift card for Starbucks. Nah, dude, really, keep it. Keep it. It's the least I can do for you. It's the least I can do after everything you've done for me. And here's where it gets really good. Because some of their text exchanges were in code. And Sunoki referred to the kickbacks as bread. Like in this alleged message, quote, "IDK, when next, I'm going to be able to see you, so try to have the bread if you can. The bread in NYC just isn't the same, and I really like my cheesesteaks with the stuff y'all have in Philly," end quote. There you have it. A great story, even better, because not only do you have an insider trading scheme with guys making crazy dough, but they're communicating in code. And the code is about cheesesteaks. I just wish that Kendricks had gone back and asked if he wanted those cheesesteaks from Gino Steaks or Pat's King of Steaks. But that wasn't the end of the excitement, because a few hours after this all came out, the Browns released Kendricks. You know, like, bam, have some. And the reason they did so is because GM John Dorsey, in a statement released by the team, said, quote, "Prior to signing Michael, we were informed that there was a financial situation that he had been involved in 2014. We were told Michael had fully cooperated with investigators as a victim. From what was communicated at that time, and based on the numerous questions we asked and further due diligence on our part, including checking with the league office, there was no information discovered that conveyed otherwise," end quote. All right, listen, if this guy lied to you, say it. But if you didn't do your due diligence, that's on you. The Browns just broke off a guy for insider trading. The same Browns who've given Josh Gordon what? Second, third, fourth, who knows how many chances. The Browns cut this guy. The same Browns who drafted Antonio Callaway this year, despite the fact that he had been suspended last year for involvement in a credit card fraud case, was cited for marijuana and drug equipment possession in May of 2017, and failed a drug test at the combine. The same Callaway who was pulled over for marijuana possession and driving on a suspended license earlier this month. And his punishment? The team refused to take him out of a preseason game. So, and this is not a Browns thing exclusively. I mean, it's a Browns thing for sure, but not just a Browns thing. It's an NFL thing. Hit a woman, take a seat for a few games. Grope an Uber driver. Let's agree on three games and call it a day. Engage in insider trading. Get the hell out of here. Not in our league, criminal. Not in our league. I'm glad to see it, though. I'm glad to see it because for a minute, when I looked at the Browns, I thought that was a team that would tolerate anything. But I was wrong. They've got standards. If there's one thing the Cleveland Browns will not stand for, if there's one thing the Browns will not tolerate, and there's a line that you do not cross, that line is insider training. No engaging in financial malfeasance. Not on my watch. Not on Jimmy Haslam's watch. Haslam, the owner of the Browns. You know, the same Jimmy Haslam of Flying J Truck Stops, which has seen at least 17 former employees plead guilty or be convicted in a fraud scheme worth more than $56 million. Flying J agreed to pay $177 million in penalties and settlements. Hell, compared to that, Kendrick's crime is, well, cheesesteak money. Look, I'm not saying that insider trading is not a crime. Kendricks was greedy. He participated in something that he knew was wrong. It's not a victimless crime. It hurts the entire system and trust in the markets, but it's not a violent crime. Here's another thing. In white-collar crime, there's a lot of gray. I'm guessing there's a really good chance that at least one of you listening right now has participated in and may still be participating in something very similar. Hell, it would not surprise me to learn that one or more NFL owners have done something similar, and you would never know. Because aside from the really highly publicized cases like Martha Stewart and now Michael Kendricks, it goes unnoticed or it goes unpunished. Again, I'm not defending this guy. He was wrong. He admitted it quickly. So there's a chance. Because he admitted it quickly, there's a chance that he's guilty of more than we know. But what kind of a world are we living in where you can hit or grope a person and you get a timeout, but if you commit financial malfeasance, you're released in a matter of hours by an owner who's had more than his share of problems too? It's kind of rich, right? Sort of curious, right? Hit a woman, stand off there to the side for a few games. Grope a woman, have a little timeout. Engage in insider trading? Oh, hell no. Not in our league. Not on our watch. Not on this team. Not in this town. Bam, have some. Gone. Hey, Romy. Did you say insider trading and cheesesteaks? Where can I sign up? Phil in Rancho Santa Fe. Jason in Louisville. You may as well just say first, bro. You might as well just tag that thing first. Plenty more of that came from. Insider trading and cheesesteaks. Did you think there might be a few hefty resets after that?
You know, toughen up.
Toughen up, man. All right, we're coming right back. More good reaction to that story and Bud Black next. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome.